The Nowhere Emporium, Chapter 7, Opening Night. Next morning, as Daniel dressed, he stared out of his wagon at the blazing sun, low in the morning sky. He did not trust his own eyes. As far as Daniel could tell, his wagon and the meadow outside, it was somehow contained inside a room within the shop. How did it all work? How did Mrs. Silver bring outside inside? Was it like a movie set, an illusion? If he were a bird flying in the sky above the wagon, would he only get so high and reach a wall? The familiar sound of beating wings and Mr. Silver's gleaming magpies glided through the open door. They fluttered around his head, touched down on his shoulders, stamped their feet and pecked at him. They twitched their heads and flapped their this way and that. "Get ready, no time to lose," they seemed to be telling him. Daniel finished getting dressed. The magpies chased him out of the door, across the hall of the stairways and through the curtain. Mr. Silver was sitting behind his desk in the shop front. "The only downside to travelling by flame," he said, expecting Daniel to know what he was talking about, "is the mess it tends to create." He ran his hand along the tabletop, coating his fingertips in a thick layer of soot. "Your official emporium duties, in the beginning at least, will consist of keeping the shop presentable. I expect this place to be shining when we open to the public this evening." Daniel gazed around the soot-covered room. "When do we open?" Silver raised a finger, shook off the soot. "Our doors open at twilight and close at dawn." And so, with excitement buzzing through him and a job to keep his mind busy, Daniel set to work, cleaning and tidying and clearing the place of soot. Everything was filthy. How long had it been since Mr. Silver last cleaned? Daniel adjusted columns of books and polished the silver and jetstone pieces of beautiful chessette. Every time he turned away, the pieces would move around the board, as though a game between two invisible opponents was underway. So much work made the day rush past, and by early evening the day had melted to twilight. Daniel became aware that a curious crowd was beginning to gather outside. He peered out through the window. "Why haven't they come before now?" he said. "We've been here for 2 days. Mr. Silver, who was at his desk writing in his battered old book, barely glanced up. "Most of them haven't noticed us until now," he said. Daniel narrowed his eyes. "You mean you haven't let them notice, don't you?" To which Mr. Silver only smiled. Then, at last, Silver snapped his book shut, locked it away in its drawer, stood up and threw on his coat. "Showtime," he said, patting his hair in a futile attempt to flatten the wild tangle. The door of the emporium creaked open. Silence poured into the shop, deep and electric. Daniel held his breath, listening to the drumbeat of his own heart. Mr. Silver held out his right hand and then waved his left hand over it. Where only a moment ago there had been nothing but empty space, a dove sat in his palm, white feathers glowing in the light of the fire. Daniel breathed 100 different scents, chocolate and wood fire, pipe smoke and synonym. Mr. Silver's grey eyes shone as he released the dove and watched it fly out into the darkness. "Welcome to opening night, Daniel Holmes." A flash of light illuminated the dark sky. Then the customers began to come. Their eyes grew wide as they caught sight of the treasures within the emporium. Grown men and women became like children once more, anxious to touch and inspect every shining trinket. When they noticed the curtain, Mr. Silver would pull back the material with a flourish, inviting them to witness the wonders beyond. Daniel watched with fascination as they filtered through, his mind fizzed with curiosity. "This is supposed to be the shop," he said, "so how come nobody's buying anything?" Mr. Silver wagged a finger. "That, Daniel, is where you are wrong. Come with me." The moment he stepped back through the curtain, Daniel knew something magical had happened. The entrance hall, full of staircases, once swept in a shadow and silence, had become alive with warmth and light. The soft flicker of the torches had intensified, reflecting and dancing on the sparkling walls. Aromas of caramel and spice filled the air. The hallways were dotted with performers and vendors, men and women scattered here and there at the foot and summit of the stairways. Each was dressed in a combination of black and shimmering gold. Some handed out candy floss or caramel apples or warm chocolate pies. Others performed magic tricks or juggled or swallowed swords. No two were identical. "Where do they come from?" said Daniel, passing a bare-chested man who was breathing fire. The flames formed the shape of a pouncing tiger, then an elephant, and finally a dragon. "From within," said Mr. Silver. As they walked, they passed several customers chattering excitedly about the rooms that contained impossible things, oceans and deserts and windows to the stars. A little girl tugged on the sleeve of her mother's coat. "I saw a dragon, Mama," she was saying. "A real dragon with fire breath and wings and a spiky black tail." I can understand what they're saying," said Daniel, who had until that moment forgotten he was in a foreign country and these people were not speaking English. "Of course you can," said Silver. "What use would I have for an assistant who cannot communicate with my customers? You can now understand and speak any language you may need." Daniel tried to remain cautious, suspicious even, mostly because nothing he cared about tended to hang around for very long. But wonder had begun to chip away at his armour. "Are there other shops like this?" he asked. "Is there more magic out there?" "There is nowhere else like my emporium," Mr. Silver said. "There is magic, certainly, and plenty of it, but it exists at the edges of things, in the corner of the eye and the back of the mind. Our world is filled with the extraordinary, Daniel. For many reasons, most people only see the things they wish to see. They are afraid of anything that cannot be explained by a scientific formula or written in a textbook, so they ignore the unknown. But for those who open our eyes, those who truly dare to wonder, there is a treasure everywhere." They went around a sharp bend and through a tunnel of a black stone to a door set in a corridor of black slate. The golden nameplate was attached to the centre of the door and in looping letters simply spelt out, "The Fountain." Mr. Silver reached into his coat, producing a crimson scarf and gloves. Pulling them on with great care, he opened the door. The cold breath of winter brushed Daniel's face. He sucked in a deep lungful of air. It smelt like a December morning. Mr. Silver's feet crunched on the ground as he stepped through the door. Daniel followed, moving from the dim hallway to clean sunlight. He was standing on a frozen pond in the middle of a thick woodland. Everything around him glittered with a coating of frost from the tips of the tallest trees to the forest floor. In the centre of the pond stood a simple fountain made from three circular tiers of stone. A thin silvery liquid flowed over the stones. Mr. Silver smiled at the look on Daniel's face. "You question whether my customers are actually buying anything. I can assure you they are. I sell them amazement. I'm a merchant of wonder." He leaned over and gathered a pile of frost from the frozen pond, rubbing it between his gloved fingers. "But my customers do not pay for their experience in the Emporium with coins or notes. No, my price is a piece of their imagination." Daniel took one step back. "Oh, it's easily done, if you know the way," Silver said. "Customers are free to wander through the doors to be amazed and wonderstruck." He indicated the silver solution that flowed over the fountain. "The Emporium takes a little of their brimming wonder, their imagination. Never enough for the customer to miss it, of course, and it becomes the liquid you see here. It is the fuel that powers everything you see, the lifeblood of the Emporium. Imagination is the root of magic." "Do they know?" said Daniel. In the pit of his stomach, he felt sick at the thought of imagination being extracted from clueless customers. "Do you tell people what you're doing to them?" Silver shook his head. For a fleeting moment, he looked old and fragile, standing in the frost. "It wasn't always this way. There was a time when I was a younger man and that my own imagination was enough. But I'm growing older. I must keep the Emporium running, and no harm comes to anyone. That is a promise. Imagination is alive. It grows in the mind like a tree. The Emporium merely clips a few of the branches. What little I take grows back in time." He observed Daniel. "If this has changed things, if you wish to leave, you may do so. I will drop you back in your own time. Just say the word." Daniel stared at the fountain, at the silvery imagination flowing over the stone. He was filled with doubts and questions, and he was wary of Mr. Silver's power. He considered what it might be like to return to his life, to the rain-soaked streets of Glasgow, to loneliness and to nobody. He looked into Mr. Silver's serious grey eyes. "I don't want to go back," he said. "I want to stay and see the world. I want to learn about magic. I want to know secrets. I want to be somebody." A smile played on Silver's lips and he bowed his head to Daniel. "As you wish." Something moved in the tops of the trees, a blind flashing of silver soaring into the blue sky. "How did you do it?" Daniel asked. "How do you make all of this?" "Tomorrow," said Mr. Silver, "tomorrow I will start your lessons and we will begin to find out if you have what it takes to become a part of the Nowhere Emporium. Tomorrow, the first test awaits." "What sort of test?" But no answer came. Daniel stood alone in the frozen world. The only sign that Mr. Silver had been in the woodland at all was a trail of footsteps in the frost.